up to World Review Commentary. I'm your host, George Butler, along with my guest host,
Charlotte Littlefield.
We're sitting here with a couple of vets at our table, our broadcast table. We're broadcasting today live from Washington, D.C. at the Vietnam War Memorial, and we're actually able to see the War Memorial from where we're broadcasting. There are so many people here. There's thousands of veterans surrounding us right now in this park. And justly so. They're wearing their colors. Charlotte, describe some of these vets here.
Well, we got Navy, Marine Corps. I haven't seen any Coast Guard. Army, obviously. Yeah, I'm sure the Coast Guard's here, too.
Charlotte's got a guest with us now. We're going to be interviewing. Who is this?
George, we have a Vietnam veteran. His name is Red Hagen. And, Red, why don't you tell us a little bit about your service in Vietnam? What branch were you in, and where did you serve?
I served with the 3rd of the 5th Cav Black Knight Unit, 9th Division out of Fort Riley, Kansas in 1966. We left and went to Vietnam in December of 66, just before Christmas, and spent the year 67 and a couple weeks in January of 68, and I was in helicopters, aviation, scout ships, and door gunner.
I see. So how many tours did you do? When did you come back, and how were you treated when you came back?
Well, I only done one tour, thank God, and treated terrible, I guess you might say. But I've got close to 300 hours in the air in Vietnam as a door gunner and crew chief.
So you flew quite a few missions during your tour in Vietnam, is that right?
Yes, I've got 6 oak leaf clusters in my aviation flight medal, which gives you one medal and one cluster for each 25 hours of combat time.
Where are you from originally? Where's your hometown?
I live right now in Beatrice, Nebraska. I'm a Nebraska boy.
So you came all the way from Nebraska here today, or were you especially coming here on Veterans Day? Or?
Well, this is about the 4th or 5th time I've been here, but what brought me back is the 25th anniversary, because I was here in 1982 for the dedication, and at that time felt like I finally come home.
Well, they finally built a memorial for the Vietnam vets, and the World War II memorial is also on these grounds close by, I believe. It's about time the World War II vets were honored in this country, too.
Yes,
it took way too long.
It's just a shame that it took the Vietnam veterans and their people to get a memorial started so we could start getting them for World War II in Korea.
Red, you brought a gentleman with you today. Can you tell us about your guest?
Yes, he's Levi Dodge from Beatrice, Nebraska, and he's a World War II vet that wished he would have came to the dedication of the World War II Memorial and didn't, so we brought him along for this trip.
Outstanding. And I see he was in the Ordnance Corps. And, I served in the Ordnance Corps, too. That's great. So what are your reflections about today, where we're at, and how the veterans are being treated?
Well, we as the Vietnam veterans aren't going to let the veterans today be treated as we were. I see a veteran at home, and he's having dinner. I'll buy it for him.
That's outstanding, Red. Was there...
I actually had a Marine friend of mine. He came back from Vietnam. He was over there for 3 tours without interruption. He didn't come home or go on R&R or anything. And then he came into the LAX airport, and they spit on him there. That is terrible.
Sounds familiar.
So that today, you know, I mean, gosh, I believe we're treating our Iraqi veterans a lot better, thank goodness. But we need to start treating some of their ailments.
We need to start treating all of our veterans. Not just the Iraqi veterans or Afghanistan veterans, but anybody who serves today, because it is an all voluntary military service.
I think the medical treatment should be the finest in the world. And sometimes that falls, sometimes I think.
It falls short simply because of the bureaucracy, the paperwork, and there are people that just don't give a damn.
Unfortunately, I agree with you totally on that, Red. But we're here to publicize that fact and try to get the word out to try to get better treatment for the vets.
Well, it takes people such as yourself to do that, and it takes the veterans themselves to want to become involved and see to it that it's there, and we keep it there for the veterans we have coming home today, our men and women. I and my wife, we have a son and a daughter that both served in Iraq. Our son is still active in the Army Reserves, and our daughter got a medical discharge, but we're going to do all we can for them.
Well, Red, thank you very much for your service, and thank you for coming here today. What are you going to do after the ceremonies? What are your plans for today?
We're going to take a couple of us with us and see some more of the sites in Washington, some of the museum buildings. Levi's wife is also a teacher, and she's interested in children and youth and history of the country.
Right, and we're sitting in the lap of history, aren't we? It's an amazing place we're at today, George.
Yes, and we have some really fine people around us also. I can't say enough about the vets. There were several color guards that came by here and marching in step together with rifles and a United States flag and so forth. We've got to get back to a constitutional government, a government that honors the Constitution and law, and also honors the rights that we acquired through that Constitution. You know, the Bill of Rights were not easily established. The Constitution originally did not have a Bill of Rights during its ratification process. Only the anti-federalists forced upon the other states the Bill of Rights, which were attached as amendments to the Constitution. We have listeners there of all ages in America today, and I advise you, you know, in our textbooks today, they don't even mention the anti-federalists. Thomas Jefferson, we drove by his memorial just earlier, Charlotte, and that is probably one of the finest gentlemen and founders of this country that I believe we can talk about, because he really knew some of the problems that they were confronting at the time of the founding of this country.
Right. And a red leaf just fell on red.
Okay, another maple leaf. God right. gave us another one for red.
They're beautiful. He gave them a red one, too.
From red Nebraska,
got a red one. So, Red, if you want to holler out to anybody that might be listening, do you want to say any hellos to anybody?
Yes, it's third of the 5th Cav, Black Knights, and any of my fellow troopers in the Cav, and God bless America, and I still have several of my pilots that I keep in contact with. Colonel Bradley retired. Love you. Captain Rowe, Captain Lyons, Colonel Lyons. Love y'all.
That's great, Red. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Red. And we certainly do appreciate the interview. And good luck on your visit today. And I hope y'all have a great time here as a tourist in Washington, D.C. Thank you very much, sir.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, getting back to our show here, our program, we've got to get this country. We've got to restore this country. That's what it's about. We've had people take over as power people, power mongers, and take over control of this country that don't really care about the average person. We've got to get back to caring for our average people out here and trying to overcome and take care of some of their problems. I don't mean give them incomes. I'm not talking about that. But when veterans go overseas and are injured and wounded, we've got to treat them right. We've got to mend their wounds, and we've got to reestablish the rights. What I was saying earlier was that the Bill of Rights were amendments to the Constitution. And today we passed the memorial, Thomas Jefferson Memorial. He, along with George Mason, forced upon the rest of the states the Bill of Rights. And that's why we call them amendments, the first 10 amendments to the Constitution. Charlotte, what were your thoughts in Philadelphia yesterday about the Constitution? We toured briefly for about an hour or so. A constitutional center up there.
Right.
And we really, really had... do you have someone else there that wants
George,
to make a comment?
Yeah, George, I have a gentleman by the name of Ray Sackus. Ray, is that correct?
Okay. Yeah, tell us what you have on your mind there.
Ray, you're on We the People Radio Network. And why don't you tell them a little bit about your Defend the Wall.
Okay. Around the wall, there's going to be new construction. And one of them is the U.S. Institute of Peace that's going to interfere with the line of sight or the memorial as you're looking at the wall. And the other issue is that, and it's an 8 to 10 story high building that's white, it has like a bird over it as a roof, and it'll distract totally from the serenity and the dignity of our memorial. And the other one is we have a situation where they're trying to build a Vietnam Veterans Memorial Visitor Center, but it's 30 feet underground and has issues with the water table. And also the way it's being designed, that it's not going to give us the dignity and that we deserve for the wall, because it's the entrance mimics the V of the wall.
I say, do you have, a website? We'll go ahead and give that out to the listeners.
Yes, website, www.equalhonor.org.
If you're interested in that. Okay, thank you, sir, very much.
Thank you, Ray. We've got other people all around us here. We've got Megan Brown that's been helping us along the way here.
Our camera lady.
Yeah, toting quip.
Oh, we were going to talk about yesterday, right?
Yeah, talk
the Constitution Center, National State-of-the-Art Constitution Center.
The Constitution Center there. which is north of the Independence Hall.
Right.
What were your thoughts inside there?
Well, basically,
there?
It's a very grand building. It's quite profound. As you walk up, the architecture has "We the People" implemented in on the right side of the structure. I think it was granite. I'm not sure, but it's definitely rock. It's mammoth size. Wonderful portrayal. As you go in, you have an option. You got to buy two tickets. One to go see the Constitution presentation, and then a viewing area where they had various interactive things for children and for people to learn about our country's history, about our voting process, about all sorts of things. Two thoughts on that. The first thing was they had electronic voting, which I don't agree with.
Charlotte, geez,
because
boy,
we
she's
know
a demon
that
on
electronic
that
voting
she wants
crime
to put
is
us back
real.
On paper.
Yes, electronic voting or crime is real.
Paper
the memory
lady.
Cards, the memory cards are insecure. You know, hacked elections. What can I say? Hackedelections.com. Hacked high-tech election theft in America. So that's a real issue. I was disappointed to see the National Constitution Center inadvertently advocating, demonstrating electronic voting, which is insecure. We need to get back to 100% hand-counted paper ballots to ensure the integrity of our voting process, which is a sacred thing. I mean, that's what our we're a constitutional republic that uses democracy to accomplish our ends. So it's very important that it's one vote, one person, and that it's counted. The second disappointing thing was there was actually an exhibit about the balance of power. It was a teeter-totter. We had a visual demonstration on computer screens, three different computer screens. One represented the judicial, the other represented the executive, and the final one represented the congressional. And for their example of the balance of power was the demonstration of the president saying, "I'm going to go to Congress and get a declaration of war."
Yes. And how many declarations of war have we
gotten? And it shows the teeter-totter.
Yeah.
Okay, shows the teeter-totter. The president pulling down on his part of the teeter-totter, and then the Congress responding on their part, saying yes or no to the declaration of war, which we know this is not happening today. The military, industrial, pharmaceutical, whatever you want to call it, complex has managed to stovepipe to subvert, to go around the process.
To circumvent, yes.
To circumvent the process of declaration of war. And when you don't flat out declare war, you know, it's like somebody said in relation to the current war in Iraq. They said that Donald Rumsfeld said that the war would be over 6 days, you know, 6 weeks at the most. Well, a statement like that from a person like that affects the funding cycle. And when, in fact, this war is being drug on and drug on, and the proper care and financial obligations, they're not, the veterans are not getting their fair share. They're not getting the medical care. They're not getting everything they need. So it's very disappointing to see the system skip along in a way that is unhealthy. It's not as it was intended.
My impressions of the Constitution Center there in Philadelphia at the Independence Mall are these. Within that building, they exhibited in very profound ways and very multimedia ways. We went into this one show that had all kinds of great, you know, different presentations and so forth. And within that building, I agree with most of what they said in that building. But we have come so far away from those constitutional intents that in the building is still, I advise people to go there because we need to rekindle an interest in our constitutional rights, in those 10 Bill of Rights especially. But by going there to Philadelphia, they can hopefully be this interest in America, in the Constitution, in the founding principles of this country, can be rekindled once again, and hopefully we can try to restore a semblance of balance and goodness to this country.
Right. And one very interesting exhibit was the bronze replications of the various...
Yeah, every one of those was bigger than me, Charlotte.
They were life-size. There was a butler there who had the same kind
of
nose.
Yeah, Megan Brown said, "Oh, look at that nose. That's like you, George."
And it was a butler. That was funny.
Oh, man.
And then, of course, it was interesting.
She got me on that.
There were three
little
people.
Little Megan.
Mason, I think, was one of them that did not sign the Constitution.
Thomas Jefferson was actually he was the author of the Declaration of Independence, which originally was called the Manifesto of Freedom. I don't know how many of our listeners know that, but he was in during the writing of the Constitution itself. He was representing the states over in France, and so he was not present. He had sent over to George Mason from his home in Virginia 25 to 30 books. And they a lot of the books dwelled upon or had the major theme of natural law. But the Founding Fathers had a heavy content within their ideas and their thoughts and their worldviews of what we call natural law, which is never being taught anymore in our schools and so forth. We're away from that. We're into positive law and constructions of men instead of a natural law-based idea of Founding Fathers that and they imputed that into the Constitution itself. And so we've come far away from that natural law basis that we have to start teaching again. And I hope that this Constitution Center in Philadelphia will try to rekindle interest in the Constitution and its original intent. Charlotte, we need to open up phones also after this next segment, so
sure.
Maybe you can give an effort on that. What are your closing comments on this, Charlotte?
Well, I thought that the Constitution Center did a really fine job of educating the public about what actually that time and set the stage for the people that had to make the decisions. And they didn't bias one way or the other. I was very impressed by their balance.
Yeah, there was a balance within the Constitution Center.
Right,
and they were introducing a few new things, though,
sure.
Right, about transportation. Remember this federal transportation?
Right. Yeah. Well, let me stick strictly to the presentation, not the exhibits. The presentation itself was in a circular room. It was state of the art. It was very interesting. I've never seen a presentation like that. It was above us, below us, in front of us. It was
okay,
all over
we've got to cut away. We'll be right back. Thank you, Charlotte. Welcome back to World Review Commentary. I'm your host, George Butler, along with my guest host,
Charlotte Littlefield.
We're broadcasting today from the Vietnam War Memorial in Washington, D.C., and a ceremony has just begun to honor the vets. And so we do have a caller online, Gene from Georgia. Tell us what your comments would be at this time about everything we've been talking about. Have you been listening to us?
Yes, sir, and I appreciate the fact that you do research in history. You're doing very well there, and you're touching about a very important issue, and that is our natural rights. This next statement I'm going to get a little flack for, but this is part of it. We can no longer afford to have a military that blindly follows the orders and dictates of their commander-in-chief and of their generals. We have got to realize that we the people are sovereign, and whenever we wish to go AWOL, that right needs to be respected. And you see, the English common law with a little c, little l, written into the Constitution by the Federalists was a trick to deceive those who wished to have a government that followed the principles of the Mayflower Compact, such that our rights given to us by our Creator would be respected. So the little c, little l is not the rights with the big C, big L, and it is a deception so that we have established crown law and lose our rights when we become citizens of the United States. So I just want to throw that out there for you and see if I can get some comments.
Okay, well, Gene, we certainly thank you for your comments, and we'll see. We'll open up our phones and give the number out here and see what other people would have a comment on what you've just said. But thank you for your call. Appreciate it. Thank you very much. Our number, our toll-free number, is 1-888-202-1984. That's our call-in number. Let me repeat that, 888-202-1984. Or if you're in the Austin area, you can call at 646-1984, 646-1984 if you're in the Austin area. Otherwise, call toll-free at 888-202-1984. The ceremonies have just begun with some music here, and we've got veterans that have crowded up along. It's happening right in front of the wall. The ceremony will take place. Veterans are filling in the green area right in front of the Vietnam War Memorial Wall. And that wall varies. It starts off at a low height, and then it goes up. As the war proceeded, we had more and more casualties in Vietnam. So that wall actually starts off at a lower height and then goes up to its peak, and then gradually it falls off and declines a little bit further down the wall. And the wall is there's a walkway through that.
George, I got in front of me a Vietnam dog handler. He's brought
all
an
right.
With him.
Let's see if we can get some comments from this gentleman. He had to go on down the
right.
Down
they
the
brought
way
an animal. There's a lot of disabled veterans. POW MIA patches.
Now let's talk about the POW MIA. Okay. Bill Hendon has written a book, and it's been published just recently, called An Enormous Crime. The POWs and MIA problems have never been resolved yet. 7 administrations have ignored the veterans that were left behind in those countries. At North Vietnam, when we started negotiating peace agreements with North Vietnam, there was an agreement to pay North Vietnam $3 billion for the additional balance of veterans, of prisoners of war that they were holding. The money was never paid. North Vietnam never released those people. And today, 7 administrations have ignored the essence, the truth about those POWs and MIA still being held over, the POWs being held in those areas, in Laos and so forth. And so I think this is very disgraceful. You can go and get that book and verify some of the details. Bill Hendon actually was on the investigative committee that the Senate was set up. John Kerry and John McCain were both members of that committee, were chairmen of that committee, joint chairmen. And they conducted a series of investigations. Well, Bill Hendon headed up those investigations. And his knowledge and his experience and over the years and his accumulating of all kinds of facts and figures and so forth revealed to himself that we had an ignoring, they ignored our governments, our successive number of governments and administrations have ignored this problem. They're still over there. We had a gentleman yesterday afternoon, that spoke about this subject, and he was a World War II, a Korean War, and a Vietnam War vet. And he said, I don't care if it's been 50 years since those veterans have been left behind over there. He said, they should be brought home. And he's talking about the Vietnam vets, the POWs that were left behind. And we're sitting here right in front of the Vietnam War Memorial with all kinds of veterans and their families who have come here to honor our fallen military, our fallen soldiers. And we're here to stand up and say, hey, let's go over there and make it right. Let's bring those remaining Vietnam veterans, those POWs home. Bring them back to America. That's why we're here today. And we're not going to give up. We're going to continue to publicize the fact that there are about 600 to 800 Vietnam veterans still, POWs, and we want to bring those back over here. And we want to bring them home, and they're still there. And Bill Hendon's book is a factual book, and it proves up the fact that there are virtually hundreds of people that were POWs that are still over there.
Right, and I guess Ron Paul gets some credit for passing the information around the Congress. He ensured that either it was the book and an informational DVD went to all of his colleagues, which is very important, and it's my understanding they have a new bill, and there's 217 signers at this point.
Yes, so he has support for undoing this mistake and this ignoring those troops that were left there, those honorable soldiers.
I wonder if Brave New Books is carrying that.
I don't know, but in our listening audience there, if you're in the Austin area or within driving distance, Brave New Books is a fine bookstore down on Guadalupe Street next to Chase Bank. I don't have the exact address.
1904 Guadalupe.
Yeah, 1904 Guadalupe Street. It's right north of Martin Luther King in Guadalupe on the west side of the street, right next to Chase Bank. And it's downstairs in the basement. And there's two fine gentlemen, Harlan and Steve, that run that and own that bookstore. And they have a plethora of good books that expose a lot of problems that we're trying to get out to the public now.
Right. Of course, John and Matthew also work there. They're a great, they're Project for the New American Citizen at the University of Texas.
And those gentlemen have done they sponsored a recent 9/11 Truth Movement conference there at the University of Texas. And they had speakers like Alex Jones. They had Webster Tarpley. They had Bowman. They had Robert Bowman, a retired lieutenant colonel, who actually headed up the defense. It was called Star Wars at that time. And he headed that up and founded that. under the Jimmy Carter administration. It was actually founded under there. And so as a result, we're sitting here. Oh my gosh, it is beautiful day here. It's bright, sunshiny day. Charlotte has another veteran here to interview.
A gentleman by the name of Johnny Kahn. Johnny, where did you serve? First off, where did you come in from, and where did you serve?
I live locally. I live in Maryland in Gaithersburg, and I served in Central Highlands in Pleiku Province at a place called Artillery Hill, which is about 5 miles to the west, I believe, of Pleiku, with the 1st Battalion, 92nd Artillery.
I see. How were you treated when you came back, and what are your thoughts today?
I thought I was treated fairly well. My family was happy to see me, I hope, and my friends were all drafted with me, and so we all got home around the same time. And when I got home, I re-entered college and finished up college, and based on the GI Bill, finished graduate school, and then went to work for the government. So, and I still work for the government. So I'm, as somebody in baseball once said, this country has been very, very good to me. And so I think I was treated very well, and I'm grateful to our veterans currently who are serving.
Well, thank you, Johnny Kahn, for that.
Thank you very much, Johnny. We appreciate your comments. And especially we appreciate your presence here today at the Vietnam War Memorial and honoring those that have fallen. Thank you very much, Johnny. Welcome back to World Review Commentary. I'm your host, George Butler, along with Charlotte Littlefield Brown as my guest co-host. Charlotte, I must correct myself. We had a veteran that came up, highly decorated, and he said, let me correct you about the name of this. Where we're sitting is the Vietnam Veterans Memorial. And I was saying War Memorial, but that's wrong. It's the Vietnam Veterans Memorial. It not only is in honor of those that have fallen because during the, you know, that fought, fell and died during the Vietnam War, but it's to honor the living veterans also.
Yeah, that's an important distinction. There are war memorials here, but this is a veterans memorial.
Yeah, so I'm sorry about misnaming this.
And I probably said it too, and if I did,
yeah,
I
got caught up. I should have. I think someone, he said ABC News yesterday missed it.
Well, it's difficult.
So, you know,
in my verbiage, yeah. My terminology, I rarely say Vietnam without saying the word war with it. So,
yes,
but it is the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Wall.
Yes, we have veterans. They're streaming by on the sidewalk. We have a few in wheelchairs, highly decorated. We have staff sergeants. We have first sergeants. We have they're wearing their caps from their respective veteran organizations. Some are wearing fatigues. They're in fatigues. They have rifles. There's honor guards. There's all kinds of people streaming by on this sidewalk in front. And the ceremony, I believe, has just started earlier, right in front of the wall. That's where the ceremony today is taking place. And there are virtually thousands of people in this park here at the Vietnam Veterans Memorial to honor those, not only our fallen troops, but those still living. And so we're here to broadcast and to interview. We've interviewed a couple of vets already, and we'll probably take some more interviews. Otherwise, our phones are open.
Oh.
At 888-202-1984, toll-free, 888-202-1984. Our call-in line in the Austin area is area code 512-646-1984. So if you're listening to us in the Austin area, phone in on 646-1984. We'd like to hear from veterans, but not you know, exclusively anyone that has comments on Vietnam or today's conflict or anything else that they want to make a comment on. Veterans Day is today, so we want to honor our vets from all of our wars. And we had a guest, a host, Trish Wood. Charlotte, did you get a lot out of that interview with Trish Wood?
Yes, that was fabulous.
She had what she had done was compile an oral history, okay, of soldiers coming back from Iraq, and she really had some very good interviews from all kinds of soldiers. She had them from that were adamantly against it, the war, and then the other people that were really very, very much in favor of what was going on over there. So her interviews were oral interviews.
Yes, and the soldiers that joined us, they were quite well-spoken, and each of them had a different perspective on their experience in the Iraq War.
So her, she's Canadian, Trish Wood, and her book was very informative, and we'll get you the name of that book.
It's called What Was Asked of Us.
What Was Asked of Us,
Oral History,
yes.
I believe it was an oral history of the Iraq War.
So we would recommend that to our listening audience as a good place to do some get some different ideas from a lot of different soldiers. And she had two soldiers traveling with her, two veterans from the Iraq War. And she was I heard both of those down at the book fair. There was a Texas book festival recently that I attended, and I met her down there on the 3rd of November. And her name was Trish Wood, author of What Was Asked of Us. And the subtitle of it was An Oral History of the Iraq War by the Soldiers Who Fought It. So she was an award-winning investigative reporter. We had her on our program that Charlotte and I co-host. But anyway, that's one book that we could recommend. And there's some music that has started just down around the memorial now, the Vietnam Memorial. But we're broadcasting live. I'm George Butler, and we're sitting in the park here in front of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial, and we have a lady here. Charlotte,
yeah,
who do you have with you now?
I have Susan Holmes with me. And Susan, where'd you come from, and what are you doing here?
I came from Virginia Beach, Virginia. I am the wife of the late Command Sergeant Major for the 199th Infantry Brigade, 1967-68.
Well, thank you for joining us. It's beautiful here today. Is this your first trip here?
Oh, no. We've been doing this for 25 years.
Wow, so you were here when they dedicated the memorial.
Yes.
I see. And what are you planning on doing for the rest of the day? And do you want to do a holler out to anybody who might be listening on We the People Radio Network?
Oh, holler out to all the Red Catchers and 17th Cav.
All right. Outstanding.
And I'll be going to the Arlington Cemetery to lay flowers at my husband who passed away last November. They just got to put the stone up, so we're all going over there.
Yes, and those are some beautiful flowers you have with you today. So it's beautiful here, and thank you for joining us, and have a safe trip.
Thank you. You too.
We honor your husband and his sacrifice and your family, yours and your family sacrifice. Thank you, Susan.
Veteran of Korea, 1951-52, three tours in Vietnam, old guard, had quite a career.
Thank you very much, Susan, for your comments.
You.
We honor you and your family today.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Well, music has started down further down the hill near the wall.
What kind of music is that, Charlotte?
Country.
There's some country music playing down there in front of the Vietnam Veteran Memorial Wall. And Megan's running around. Hey, how you been doing, Megan? Okay. She's been a real big help to us on this trip. We're going to go up tomorrow to New York City. We're going to go down to Ground Zero. And we're going to do some videotaping around Ground Zero, and we're going to bring some tape back there. We'd hope to do some today, but it would have been very difficult to do any taping out here with our video camera.
Megan, what do you think about the Vietnam Veterans Memorial?
It's really crowded here, and it's really cool to see all the different uniforms in the different people that have done all the different things for the Iraq War
and Vietnam
and all the veterans here and the people and
and you've seen a lot of dogs today, haven't you? Some of those were service dogs.
Yes, she's been carousing around here, petting these dogs that have coming by and everything.
Service dogs. These are animals that also serve.
We have a few other things to touch on too, is that we have some ailments we were talking about earlier, and they came out of the Gulf War, and also, of course, Vietnam. We saw a series of tables when we were coming in here. There were a series of tables set up by veterans out on what, Constitutional Avenue, I believe.
Right off
and,
of that.
And what were some of their topics they were covering?
Well, I thought Red Cross 10, of course, the MIA 10, I believe. I don't know, Agent Orange. Of course, we have depleted uranium as a big problem today.
Yeah, tell us about that, Charlotte. What's the problem with that?
Well, depleted uranium comes from armor-piercing rounds. Normally, soldiers, they've been known to fling to carry the ammo up against their bodies. But it's my understanding that once it's been penetrated, it's been exposed, used, okay, the air becomes polluted. They become mildly radioactive, and the dust and the particles are spread around, and they have a long time to decompose, longer than any of us, you know, could ever.
Well, in Iraq, hasn't that been spread throughout the general population?
Yes, Trish Wood's soldier, the gentleman, I think his name was Paul. At any rate, yeah, he said there was a tremendous amount of expended rounds, depleted uranium rounds, armor-piercing rounds out just everywhere. It's a real tragedy because that's a hazardous material that's being ignored. There's no cleanup. There's no procedure. And I know there's a lot of people working hard to educate and expose the hazards and the terrible problems we have with depleted uranium in the modern battlefield.
Yes, we need to continue to publicize the fact about these types of depleted uranium rounds that are scattered out there. But the general population, the public, has been contaminated also. Not only have some of our soldiers experienced contamination from this uranium, these rounds, but also the general public, wherever these rounds have been fired, have also been exposed to some of those. And so we're seeing even the general population suffering from radiation sicknesses and so forth. It's a sort of a general thing where we've got this biological chemical stuff that some of our soldiers need better treatment on. Joyce Riley exposed some of that coming out of the Gulf War. We've got this Agent Orange, which came out of the Vietnam War, that for a long time the soldiers were not treated. Finally, they pushed it and pushed it and pushed it. A friend of mine had Agent Orange damage to himself, and it took him years to get over. And finally, he went to alternative medicine, and he started coming out of it, you know. And that was his solution. A friend of his put him on to a vitamin regime, and it helped him overcome some of his problems. We're going to cut away here for another commercial break. Then we'll come back for our final segment. We're here honoring the vets today in Washington, D.C., at the Vietnam Veterans Memorial. We'll be right back.
Congressman Ron Paul's motivation for becoming president has always remained consistent.
And that is always to shrink the size and scope of government and to maximize individual liberty.
So get empowered. Join us for the Hope for America Conference and Ron Paul Rally in Tempe, Arizona on Saturday, December 8th and explore the possibilities. We'll celebrate the effectiveness of the Ron Paul Revolution and focus you on the knowledge of the key issues and techniques and technologies that you need to help restore the Republic. Join our guest presenters, Dr. Catherine Albrecht, George Shepard, Ernest Hancock, Joan Vion, Alan Corwin, and myself, Samuel Anthony Otero, at the beautiful Arizona State University Memorial Union Ballroom. Tickets are on sale now at rtrlive.com or by phone at 814-553-9372. That's rtrlive.com or 814-553-9372.
This is Sam Otero, and let me ask you a question. Are you a sheep? Would you like to be tracked and tagged like livestock? Well, of course not. That's part of the reason why you're listening to the We the People radio network. You've said no to Big Brother, and you listen to WTPRN for the latest news and information from the greatest assemblance of freedom-loving talk show hosts that this country has ever seen. But we need you to be more than only a listener. We need you to get directly involved with this network and to help the network grow to reach more people. Support the We the People radio network and help us spread the good news that the American people are now awake and on fire to reclaim what is theirs. Tell all of your friends about WTPRN.com, spread the word, and donate today to help us continue to grow and affect great social change. Play our broadcasts at your place of business. Email your friends about your favorite hosts. Put our chip-in contribution button and banners on your website. But whatever you do, do it big. Come on, don't be a chicken. Stand up for your rights and help us wake up America. Tell the world about WTPRN and contribute to our funding drive so that we can continue to promote your freedom drive. You're a listener of the We the People Radio Network. You should be proud to tell the world that. And you should be proud to tell us here at the network that you value our efforts. For without the support of you, the people, well, then we're just the radio network. And, well, that's kind of lame, don't you think? We the People Radio Network. Go to WTPRN.com and donate today.
News, politics, cover-ups, government corruption. You're listening to We the People Radio Network.
WTPRN.
Welcome back to World Review Commentary. I'm George Butler, your host. We're broadcasting live from the Vietnam Veterans Memorial here in Washington, D.C. We're on the We the People Radio Network, WTPRN.com. We want you to go to their site, WTPRN.com, and in the center of their column there, they have a chip-in contribution click off, you know, hypertext link. We want you to go in there and contribute a little bit to keep this network that we broadcast on going. So go in there to WTPRN.com and chip in with us. Charlotte has another veteran here. Charlotte, who do you have with you now?
I believe his name is Graylin Hughes. I think I got that
right.
All right,
Graylin, how are you today?
He served in Vietnam. Graylin, where are you from, and who did you serve with?
A number of units, but my major unit was 716th Military Police, Bravo Company. I also served with the 11th Cav and 2 Corps. And I served in Long Bend, 720th Military Police. I'm from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Okay, we were just up there yesterday in Philadelphia.
Yeah, went to the Liberty Mall, went to a rally there.
I actually live in Conshohocken, but it's right outside of Philadelphia.
Okay.
Born and raised in Philadelphia.
Okay, fine. Well, that's a nice place.
So this is probably not your first visit here?
Been here probably about 10 times.
I see. So here's my next question. How did you feel when you came back? How were you treated?
Could have been treated better, but I guess at that time that was the attitude that people had about the war, so I dealt with it.
How do you feel about things today?
Things are getting better. The VA needs a lot more help, a lot more financial assistance, a lot more doctors, a lot more psychiatrists and therapists for the veterans.
Did you have any friends that suffered from Agent Orange or anything else like that?
Yes, myself. I have.
You had ailments,
yes,
this way.
Right. I have type 2 diabetes.
Explain what you went through during to try to get well on that. Are you fully well yet or not?
I have prostate cancer right now. I have type 2 diabetes and post-traumatic stress disorder. It's getting better, but I have a ways to go.
Well, we're here to not only broadcast and to our respect and so forth for our military, but to try to stand up for them for better medical care. We need better and more doctors.
Definitely right. Definitely.
This country has enough resources to take care of their vets. That's definitely what they need to start
definitely
doing.
And we're involved in another war now, and there's casualties coming back, and we need help.
Yes, we do. We need to take care of our Iraqi war veterans better.
All
than
veterans.
Sure.
All veterans.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, Garland, thank you so much for your service.
Thank you very much for your interview and your comments, and we certainly respect your views on that, and we agree with you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Garland. Thank you.
We're sitting here at the Vietnam Veterans Memorial, and the ceremony has just begun.
Apparently Colin Powell just showed up, George.
Did Colin Powell just come in? I believe he's getting a round of applause here. He's attending this ceremony.
Of course, that would be former General Colin Powell, right?
Former General Colin Powell.
Oh, my God.
Retired general and also former Secretary of State and part of the government.
Vietnam President. Women's Memorial Foundation, Reefs. There's a
right now there are reefs being marched by us.
To be deposited.
To be placed
on
the
In the shape of the cavalry patch.
Yes,
with the horse.
We have a first cow unit here.
We have sons and daughters in touch. They were our fathers, a beautiful reef. There are several dozen.
We have some very dedicated people here that want to honor our vets. And they're bringing wreaths to honor those vets. And they're going to be placed on the veteran memorial.
The people. It's about the people.
This is about we the people here, honoring we the people. This is why we're broadcasting on We the People Radio Network. We're here to try to honor we the people. And especially today is Veterans Day. We want to honor our vets today, our veterans. The Vietnam Veteran Memorial is not only a memorial for those that have fallen, but also for the living veterans from Vietnam. And they continue, my gosh.
82nd Airborne.
Yeah, these wreaths are continuing to stream by us on the sidewalk here.
Then we have all vets.
We have vets carrying these wreaths.
Disabled American
veterans.
We've
got a few lady vets in there. Disabled American vets.
Paralyzed veterans of America.
Yes, they keep coming. Boy, they haven't stopped yet.
Rolling Thunder, Virginia chapter.
Well, these are very beautiful wreaths for their veterans.
CBT Combat Battalion.
There's one here, all yellow, yes.
5th Battalion, 7th Cav.
We have
the
a
Irish
naval.
American.
Yeah, a petty officer there carrying one.
Force
we have one.
Life,
we have a dog
infantry,
here.
The dog
yeah,
service.
That's right, the dog service.
Canine.
1962, Corps.
1972.
That's right, and then we have people following up behind those wreath bearers. The light is streaming through the trees. It's autumn in Washington, D.C. The multicolored leaves are falling upon us. One fell on my computer earlier, a maple leaf, and one of our veterans that we interviewed earlier.
Red's had a red leaf.
One red.
red maple leaf
fell on red, and a maple leaf fell on my computer. I believe that we're graced to be here today. We're honored to be here and being a part of this ceremony today.
Very honored.
To broadcast and try to hold up, to try to defend somewhat the rights that veterans have in getting better medical service and so forth and being honored. In a rightful way. It took a long time to build a World War II war memorial, and too long, and a Vietnam veteran memorial
hey,
also
we have
took
Navy.
A while. We had one gentleman earlier. We have
we
Navy
got the Submarine Force here.
Yeah, we have
hey,
Navy that are here also. We have veterans from different
Where'd you come areas. From? What's your name?
My name is Richard Parker. Richard Parker is my name.
And Parker, where'd you come from?
Well, Washington, D.C. right now, but so I'm in the area. I'm here for Veterans Day.
Are you currently serving in the U.S. Navy Submarine Force?
No, I'm out now. I'm the third generation, but my father served before me, and my uncle served 28 years. So the submarine service received about 70 years from my family.
So they were all wow. in the submarine service.
I was, too. I was on board the USS Simon Lake in Holy Loch, Scotland. We took care of the boomer-class submarines. I was an electrician's mate.
In Holy Loch. I was
what year?
Rogers.
You were on the Will Rogers. I was there 88 through 90.
All right, I got out. By the time 88, I was already in Damneck. I was teaching in Damneck. So I was an instructor at Damneck by that time.
Well, Richard, thank you very much for your comments, and we appreciate you
honoring the veterans today.
Yeah.
So, thank you, Richard.
Thank you very much. We still have a line open. You can call us at 888-202-1984, or if you're in the Austin area, call in at 646-1984. We had a caller that dropped off. Call back, and we'll get you on the air. We were having some interviews there that we had to take care of. So the one from New Mexico, if you have time, call us back. Anyway, we're sitting here in the middle of this park next to the Vietnam Veterans Memorial. There was an honor guard. There were three honor guards that came by earlier, and just 5 minutes ago, there were wreath bearers. There were veterans that were carrying wreaths to be placed in front of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial wall. They were very beautifully done flowers on these wreaths. They were yellows and reds, and there were all kinds of different flowers that made up these wreaths, and they were beautifully done. And they're here to commemorate, to honor our veterans. Earlier, I had made a mistake and called this the Vietnam War Memorial. I'm sorry about that, and I want to apologize to all the veterans across America about that misstatement. This is called the Vietnam Veterans Memorial. And Charlotte is here with me, and I certainly appreciate her guest hosting with me
More
today.
More than welcome, George.
And she's standing here interviewing some of our vets. We've recently just
just our ceremonies have started up by the wall. We're removed back off the wall a ways here on the parkway. And there's a system, a series of ceremonies that are occurring. That we have people from all walks of life here, all ages. We have people in wheelchairs. We have little kids in strollers being pushed, and little babies. We had dogs and little kids, young children, little girls, little boys. Our family. This is a family thing. This is a We the People thing here in Washington D.C. That's going on November the 11th, 2007. Charlotte Littlefield Brown and George Butler are here to participate with this crowd to honor our veterans. And without We the People Network carrying this program, we couldn't do it. And we certainly appreciate them. Go into WTPRN.com, www.WTPRN.com. And go to the middle of that column there, and there's a chip in hypertext link. Go in there and chip in some money to keep We the People Radio Network in operation. They can use the money, and they gave us time to do these special broadcasts like the one yesterday. They opened up their time for us for 4 hours. They gave us 4 hours of broadcast time to cover those ceremonies up there in Philadelphia. And we certainly thank them for that. The leaves are falling. This is autumn in Washington, D.C. The people have gathered together here in honor of these veterans. The World War II War Memorial is close by. The Washington Monument is standing up very white in the brilliant sunshine. We are sitting here honoring these veterans. We're coming to the end of our program. And we our message to Americans is stand up and be counted and start participating in the government. Start becoming We the People and someone that can make a difference, not only on a local basis, but on a national basis. Charlotte, what do you have to say?
Thank you, George, for everything. This was a great show. Thanks.
Charlotte, thank you very much for co-hosting with me. And I just say this in a little way, is that We the People. Don't think one person can't make a difference. One little person in a great big world can make a hell of a difference. So get in there and do what you need to do to honor the dead, to honor our military, to honor our veterans, but also to restore this country to its rightful place in the world. Thank you for listening.